without having to turn there. And I'll go ahead and announce this while you're turning there, so I don't forget to do it at the end. We're going to have a little fellowship after church in the fellowship hall back there. There's cake and ice cream in honor of my wife's birthday. The church wanted to do that for her. And so we're going to have a little singing happy birthday to her and cut up some cake and ice cream. Always cake and ice cream is a good thing. So, but anyway, we'll have a little fellowship right after the service. So if I forget, y'all remind me to head back there. So cake and ice cream should help me not forget, you know. My wife's birthday, I better not forget, I guess. But anyway, all right. She got to go to Outback last night on her parents for her birthday. And in the day, that's what everybody was dogging me because, you know, she had to cook her own breakfast or her own lunch today for her birthday. But I'm going to take her out tomorrow night, just me and her. So we'll have, she's getting Sharon Palooza, as my son calls it. So she'll get 3 days of celebrating things like that. And my sons and daughter-in-laws and I went together and got her. She's hip. She's a hip granny, I guess. But she got her some AirPods, and so she put them in and couldn't hear me. So she said that made her day. So. So anyway, she likes to walk, and then one of our sons, he likes to talk a lot, and so she wants to be able to continue to work while he's talking. So she got her some AirPods. I don't even know how to hook them up, put them in, or whatever, but she does. But anyway, so we'll have that fellowship after. Tonight we're going to talking about focusing on Christ, and speaking of birthdays, the more you have, and it happened this way to me, the harder it is to focus. You know, if it wasn't for these glasses, I would just have to take your word for it that you were there. No, I could see you. I just couldn't see the words that's in front of me. I need it to read. I know some people need it for help distancing, and some people need it close up. It was about 43 years old when I first started realizing it. I think I was changing the oil on my vehicle, and of course it was a truck, and so I didn't need ramps or anything. I just took a creeper and rolled underneath there, and looking for the plug, I was doing the squinting and the trying to trombone up underneath there, and I couldn't find the plug, and so that was not a good thing. So anyway, I started with the readers and took them on and off for a while, and finally I was like, ah, and got some progressive lenses. It helps me focus. I can see. I can actually see the words of the Bible, and I mean, like I said, I can see you without them. But anyway, some of you can testify that. And you said, well, that started way before 40 for me. Maybe you were born with something that caused you to have glasses and so forth. But we all get it, focusing. And if you've ever looked at some type of a magnifying glass or a telescope or a rifle scope, there's that focus button. And it brings things in and out of focus, or a camera, and so forth. And you can tell our eyes are made, God made them. If you look at something, it's out of focus, it's distorted, it's blurry. It does not tell your brain that that's right. It's kind of like singing off key. If you're not tone deaf when somebody's singing off key, it's just like, ah, and it messes with your inner ear. It messes with your brain. So your eyes are supposed to focus, but the Bible, the word focus is not actually in the Bible, but the connotation of focusing on Christ is in there. So that's what we're going to look at tonight, focusing on Christ. Let's look at the definition of focus, and we'll read one verse and we'll have a word of prayer. Focus means to a main purpose or interest. If you're focusing on something, obviously that's not talking about your vision. But it says here, or the state of condition permitting a clear perception or understanding, the center of attraction or attention, a point of concentration or to adjust. That's what focus means. And again, the older we get, the harder it is to do this sometimes mentally and physically. We have to focus and so forth. But in Isaiah 26:3, it says this: Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because He trusteth in thee. So again, this is a mental or a spiritual focus, not necessarily a physical focus with our eye. But God's going to keep us in perfect peace if we're focused on Him. But just like losing focus with your eyes could cause an accident, could cause something to happen, losing focus on Christ can cause things to happen. But if we stay dead, locked in, focused on Him, it says here, He'll keep us in perfect peace. And we trust in Him. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll talk about how to be focused on Christ, or what will happen if you're focused on Christ. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Thank You for the Bible. Thank You for principles that's in the Bible that can help us to learn, Lord, so that we can stay focused on Thee. And again, if you're the center of our attraction, or if you're the center of our focus, the Bible says here we can have peace, perfect peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. And the other verse I was going to read to you is found in, 2 Chronicles 7:14, I believe it is. And of course, very familiar verse. And it says here, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." And so obviously there's the connotation in that verse that means to focus, to seek His face, to look at, and then turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So again, if we want to have perfect peace, we're going to have to stay focused on Christ. And He's going to do that, and He'll bring all things into perspective if we can see it. And so number one tonight, if you stay focused on Christ, or when you're focused on Christ, you will be able to battle Satan like He did. If you stay focused on Christ, you'll be able to battle Satan like He did. If you're going to be in a boxing match or a taekwondo match or any type of match that they have out there today, you better watch out for the opponent. And of course, we've talked a little bit about that lately, about how to battle Satan. And so you ought to watch out. If you're in, again, the woods where there might be something that would bite you, such as a snake, watch out. Watch where you're stepping. Things like that. If you fall in a hole, hurt yourself. And again, the older that we get, the longer those things kind of stick around. But if we're focused on Christ, we'll be able to battle Satan like He did. I sang, the Sunday in February that I sang. I sang that song about the sun's coming up. And it started out, "Once again I faced Satan this morning. And I battled him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcement. And at sundown, I sang victory song." So if we're going to be able to do that, we're going to stay focused on Christ. Why? Because Satan is going to tempt us, come after us, entice us, all the things that he will do. And he's going to do that, and we're going to have to stay focused on Christ. And we're going to look at a couple things. First one, let's look at Matthew 4. Matthew 4, and this is the point here. If we stay focused on Christ, we'll be able to battle Satan like he did. And this is a recording in the Scriptures of where he had to battle Satan. And if we'll stay focused on Christ, he will help us do this same exact thing. So Matthew 4 says in verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." So again, we see here God allowed it, just like he allowed it to Job. He allowed it here to be Jesus to be tempted. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then afterwards he was hungered. And then it says, when the tempter came to him and said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made to bread.'" And of course, again, I've said this before, if I go 40 minutes, I don't need to be making a decision without food. He went 40 days without food and so forth. But so just Satan came to him and said, "If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned into bread." But Jesus was focused on God to do his will, not his own. And he said in verse 4, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" So if we're focused on Jesus and focused on his word and focused on living the right kind of Christian life, when Satan tempts us with anything, we'll be able to stay focused and not be beguiled by that temptation. We'll be able to answer like he did with the word of God. Verse 5 says, "Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him upon a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God,'" kept driving that home, "'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written.'" So the devil will even use the word of God to try to tempt us, maybe twist it a little bit. "And he gave him his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands there shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And so he said, just like you said, it's written that you not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It also says in the Bible that God doesn't even want you to stub your toe, that He'll take care of you. So just throw yourself off this pinnacle and the angels will come down if you be the Son of God. And verse 7 says, and Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God also. And so again, we see here him being focused on God, focused on doing the right thing. He was able to withstand this temptation. And again, verse 8, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. And them that glory in them. And he said unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only will thou serve. And then verse 11, that's talking about this perfect peace, talking about if we're focused on God. It says here, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So he got what he needed, even though he didn't succumb to the temptation. The devil will make it sound like, man, you need to fall to this temptation if you're going to be taken care of, if you want to be happy, if you want to have your needs met. And all these things, there's nothing wrong with eating bread. There's nothing wrong with being in charge of things. There's nothing wrong with trusting in the Lord to take care of you. But again, we have to stay focused on the Lord and on Scripture. So when that devil comes and we don't succumb to that temptation, it says, then the devil left. He tried, and he gave up, and he left. Why? Because Jesus was focused. And then it says here, and then angels came and ministered to him. So he got taken care of. So if we're focused on Christ, we'll be able to battle Satan like he did. Let's look at another place. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis 3. Again, same Satan, same devil, same type of temptation, but a different outcome because they lost their focus. Jesus stayed focused on God and answered with the Scripture and answered again and answered again. And the devil finally left him alone. But we see in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, we're going to see a little bit a different outcome because they lost their focus. They started looking at other things. It says here, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. So again, kind of same kind of conversation here. And Jesus was focused on God and gave the right answers. We see here in a minute that Eve and also Adam lost their focus. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so again, she started losing focus. And again, if you've ever messed with a camera or something that has some type of focus on it, you can see it just start going away. This is what happens when she allowed Satan to get into her mind. And think, well, it's a good thing to be a god. And when the woman saw, she had lost her focus, that the tree was good for food, and it was there pleasant to the eyes. She got her focus off the Lord and onto that piece of fruit. And the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave unto her husband, and he with her, and he did eat. And verse 7 it says here, and the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made them an apron. Why? Because they lost their focus. Jesus didn't lose his focus and answered correctly. And the angels came and took care of him. Adam and Eve lost their focus and got their focus on something else. And we see here a bad outcome. So when they were, we might hear this about us Baptists. We all just narrow-minded. When Adam and Eve was narrow-minded, their focus was on the right place. But when they broadened their horizons and looked at what the world was saying, they lost their focus and lost their purity. And then we see here another thing that we get told, oh, y'all just have tunnel vision. It's just one way. I mean, if you go through the Bible, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father. So it's kind of tunnel vision. And so that's what the devil's going to come and tell, you know, try to make us feel a little bit guilty about taking a stand and being so, single-minded sometimes. He's trying to get us to unfocus. I'm not saying be mean and being judgmental, things like that, towards anybody. But we need to stay focused, narrow-minded, have that tunnel vision that's right here. Again, some of you may have been around when they were using mules or a horse to plow with. That's a long time ago. And some people still do it. But some of those animals had to have guards on their eyes. Why? So it could help focus them. You know, if they were over here looking like that, good luck with your rows being straight. You're back there geeing and hawing on all that kind of stuff. But if they could see things, but it helped them focus. And so that's what we're seeing here, that we need to basically have some blinders on, that we don't see all that stuff out there. So we lose focus. And that's what he did with Adam and Eve. He got them to not be narrow-minded and not be focused. So another person we'll look at, you don't have to turn there, I'll read them to you. Paul, he was narrow-minded, but he stayed focused. When he was tempted, he said stuff like Philippians 2:5, told the church at Philippi, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." He was like, I know there's people out there roaring, there's threats out there, there's Satan out there, there's temptations out there, but you, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So he was mentally focused. He told them in chapter 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before." He was focused, narrow-minded. And so when we stay focused on Christ, we'll be able to battle Satan like Jesus did and like Paul did, definitely not like Adam and Eve did at this time. Number two, when we are focused on Christ, we will be able to make right choices. When we are focused on Christ, we'll be able to make right choices. Now, there's some times that you have, you know, both are good choices. For instance, this morning I went back there and I was offered a marshmallow pop and I was offered a cupcake. How can you go wrong? Both of them are right choices. And I saw several of you made that right choice. You had both a marshmallow pop and a cupcake. Amen. And so those were both good choices. And so we go through life, but we need to make the right choice. We have obviously God's will. So we'll look at a few things here. In Genesis 13:10, we see here Lot lost his focus. He was given a choice. And a very, very familiar story that we know about. It says here, "And Lot lifted up his eyes." He lifted up his eyes, but they may have, and they were focused, but they were focused on the wrong thing. We see here that his eyes beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So again, he was given that choice. And of course, this has been preached about for years, decades, and so forth, that, you know, Lot should have, you know, let Abraham choose. So what happens is if Lot and Abraham had some of the discussions, kind of like us and our wives sometimes, you know, "What do you want?" "I don't care. What do you want?" And they'd have been there still on that mountain today, saying, no, "What do you want, Lot?" No, "What do you want, Abraham?" I get that. So you had to make a choice. But he, of course, lost his focus and chose. As far as taking care of his animals, and he could have said, "Well, Abraham, if you're giving me the choice, I mean, it's really not that big. It's not that hard of a decision. This one's got lots of water and things like that." But he wasn't caring about what God wanted. And we know the story. He went, and then he went down there to sojourn, and then he sat at the gate, and then he was a resident at Sodom and Gomorrah, and he lost his whole family and so forth. Why? Because he lost his focus. So it's important that we stay focused on Christ so we can make the right decisions. Because he lost his focus, he lost everything he had. Another couple in the Bible, Ananias and Sapphira, they lost their focus. When they made the decision, their focus was, this is what God wants us to do. This is how the Holy Spirit's leading us. This is what, you know, God's wanting us to do with our money. And sometime between then and when they went to church, they had lost their focus. And they got a little blurry, and they held back some of the things that they told God that they would do, and of course, they lost their life. So again, several people here so far in the Bible that lost their focus and lost everything that they had. Another person that lost his focus, Samson. He definitely lost his focus. He lost his focusing ability. He got his eyes burned out with a hot poker, and so forth. But that was his problem. He lost focus. His eyes were always on the ladies instead of God. You read his, and when he went down to Timnath, there's some pretty girls at Timnath. He went over here, and you know, two or three girls later, he found Delilah, but his focus was always on the women. And we see Samson went down to Timnath, saw a woman. He was definitely focused on her, but not God. But because he lost his focus, he ended up losing his life and, or his eyes and his life. Abraham kept his focus. Genesis 22:13. It says here, when he lifted up his eyes, he beheld a ram in the thicket. Y'all know the story. He finally has his son, and God tells him to sacrifice his son. That would have been tough, but he didn't lose his focus. He started getting the wood together. He started getting the stuff to have the fire together. And, Isaac was like, Dad, where's the sacrifice? The Lord will provide. He's asking the Lord, what in the world are we going to do? But he was focused. And when he got up there, it took all the way from him lifting his hand to take his son's life. And then he heard a noise and saw the ram in the thicket. And God provided. But he kept his focus all the way through. Again, some of this doesn't make sense to us. But Abraham kept his focus. He kept his life. He kept his son. He kept everything that he had. He kept his focus. Isaac also kept his focus in Genesis 24:63. Of course, after this took place with him not being sacrificed, he was getting to of age of wanting a wife. And again, this would be a story to teach your kids, not the bachelor. That's not how you found a wife. Or the bachelorette. That's not how you find a husband. Here's a great story. and so forth. We see Isaac, he went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And of course, we know the story. His dad had called a servant and said, hey, go over to our country and get Isaac a wife. And, you know, that'd be tough, leaving one of your dad's employees' job to pick you a wife. That would be hard. But anyway, he said, you go pick my wife. Again, some things we can learn from that. You know, she came from where he came from. Probably a Baptist, like he was a Baptist. She was saved, like he was saved. She was seeking God's will, like he was seeking God's will. That's why it worked out like it did. You know the story. The servant's on his way over there. My job is to pick Isaac a wife. What in the world am I going to do? we know the story. God took care of all that. So when Isaac, he went out to the field to meditate. So not only was he trusting his parents to help him find the right mate. So parents have a good idea out there, kids. Listen to them. And he was trusting his dad. He's trusting God. And then he was said here, he went out to meditate in the field at eventide. So he was right with God. He was praying, doing what he was doing. It says here, and he lifted up his eyes and saw that the camels were coming. Again, this is way out of our league as far as traveling. if your family's coming to see you, they're either going to fly or drive, and they'll either text you, let you know, things like that. He had none of that. He had no clue when she was coming. Just knew that she was trusting God. So he went out there, but he lifted up his eyes, and he was focused. And it says in verse 64, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And so she saw Isaac, and she lit off her camel. And so they ran. And here's that beautiful story. And love at first sight and all that kind of stuff. But God was involved. Parents were involved. God's will was involved. They didn't lose their focus and they found their mate forever. They kept focus until they found God's will. Joseph kept his focus. He was sold by his brothers. I've done some things to my brother. Wedgie may have been involved. Wet Willie may have been involved. Some tricks and things like that may have been involved. Why? Because I was the oldest. I get that. But I never sold him. but his brother sold him and things like that. But he didn't lose his focus. He kept his focus on God. So then he went to a far country and God blessed everything he touched. And here he is, second in command. And the command's wife tries to seduce him. And he runs, leaves his coat there and gets lied about and gets put in prison. But what happened? He didn't lose his focus. He was helping out in the prison. He was, everything he did. And then he finally gets out and you know, quotes a dream or two and explains what they are. And then here he is. Because he didn't lose his focus, these other people that lost their focus lost everything they had. Abraham didn't and gained everything. Isaac didn't, gained everything. Joseph didn't lose focus, and he not only saved himself, he saved his family and thousands of other people. Why? Because he didn't lose his focus. So it's important that no matter what, I don't think, you know, there's some bad things that's probably happened to us sitting in this room, but nobody in here has ever been sold. You may have been lied about and things like that, but I don't know that any of us have been thrown in prison for, you know, a false accusation. So we can keep our focus. Joseph kept his focus. So consider this the end of those that kept their focus and the end of those that lost their focus. It should be an easy decision, and it should help us keep our focus on the Lord. So number one, when we keep our focus on Christ, we're able to battle Satan like he did. When we keep our focus on Christ, we're able to make right choices. And number three, when we are focused on Christ, we will be able to keep things balanced. Keep things balanced. Again, some of us have good balance, some of us don't. You know, again, some of us can walk down the hallway and, you know, we have to hold on to the wall. We might bump into it, things like that, because we don't have good balance. You know, again, a balanced beam is very thin. I think it's, what, 3 or 4 inches? And those girls are flipping on it and all that kind of stuff. They have good balance. But if we're focused on Christ, we will be able to keep things balanced. Now, I can't do all that kind of stuff, but that's what they tell those girls. And anybody that does that fancy diving stuff off diving boards, they tell them to get a focus. Because, I mean, they're going to be flipping and turning and twisting and all those things, and then they're going to come out, you know, and do this, and you know, they're going to get judged on it. But they tell them where to focus. Look at a spot on that wall. So when you go off or you're on that balance beam, you look at something and keep yourself balanced. You know, you take somebody and you close their eyes and you spin them around, they're going to lose their balance. Why? There's nothing to focus on. When they finally do open their eyes, they're not going to be balanced. That's what Satan's going to make sure. He's trying to twist you up. You've all heard the statement, I'm as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. And why? Because just all spinning around. And that's what Satan's going to do. He's going to make decisions come at us and things that we're going to have to face and try to knock you out of balance. And if you're out of balance, you're going to be unfocused. I don't like spinny things anymore. When I was a little kid, I could ride those rides where, you know, we'd go after baseball, and our coach, after the season was over, he would take us to Six Flags, and I can't remember what it was called, but we went in there, and you stood against the wall, and it got to going so fast. The bucket. What was it called at Six Flags in Georgia? Spindletop. All right. And so, basically, you would be stuck to the wall, and the floor would fall out, and you'd be going so fast that you were stuck to the wall. So we'd stand upside down. We'd hold each other sideways, and we'd ride that thing over and over and over and over. If I did that now, my stomach would not be balanced. What would be on my inside would want to be on my outside. All right, I can't do the spinny things anymore. Why? I lose my balance. And so that's what Satan's going to make sure, that if we're not focused on Christ, we're going to lose our balance, and we're going to be messed up. So the Bible says in Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. So we're supposed to have a balance. And the only way to have a balance is to be focused on Christ. You get your eyes off Him, you're going to lose your balance. And it'd be abomination. Proverbs 20, verse 23 says, a false balance is not good. It's not good. You know, if we took you and grabbed you by a wrist and by an ankle, and I do this to my grandkids, and spin you around and stand you up, good luck. You know, there's some people, they black out. There are some people that'll face plant, and some people will upchuck. Why? They lost their balance. That's what Satan's going to do. So a false balance is not good. So when we are focused on Christ, we'll balance in our mind and, I guess, our spiritual life who He really is. There's a lot of people out there that think He's just a prophet, or He's just a good man, or He was an honest person. But they don't have it balanced in their mind who He really was. But if we're focused on Him, we'll know who He is. I mean, He's God's Son. He's the Creator of all things. We learned about that in Sunday school. He's the only begotten of the Son of God, or He's the only begotten Son of God. He's the Savior. The Bible calls Him the friend of sinners. We will have the right balance on who Jesus really is if we're focused on Him. Again, here's a little bit longer one. He's the returning, ruling, rewarding, renewing Savior. I'll say that again. He's the returning, ruling, renewing, rewarding Savior. If we are focused on Him, it'll help us in our life because we know He's going to do all those things. He's going to come back and find us, so doing, the Bible says. He's going to let us rule and reign with Him when He sets up His kingdom. He's going to renew this world. He's going to destroy the old and give us a new, heaven and earth. And then He's going to reward us one day. That'll help us stay focused. He's also the protecting, the providing, and the purifying Savior. He'll protect me. We talked about that hedge and being in His hand and letting Him help us. He can protect us. He can provide. He'll take care of us. The Bible says that we will not be begging bread if we're focused on Him. That person that's focused on money or focused on their own will, he might let you beg bread a little bit. He don't promise to provide for you. But those of you that are focused on Him, the Bible says you will not be begging bread. I will provide for you. And then purifying. He'll help us to become a better Christian. Second thing underneath this one. If we have a focus on Christ, we will be balanced in knowing who He is. And secondly, on what He has done. On what He has done. Again, a lot of people get this out of balance. They think, well, I've done this. And I've changed this. And that's what Satan did. He got the I problem. But if we're focused on Him, we won't talk about I much. We'll be focused on Him. So, I didn't create me. He created me. I didn't save me. He saved me. I don't lead me around and guide me. He does. He allows me to serve Him. So if we're focused on Him, we won't get the eye problem like Satan, and we'll be able to be balanced on what He's done for me. Third thing, what I get to do for Him. If we're focused on Him, then He will let us do for Him. If it's a competition, or if it's about a pride thing, it's not going to be what He wants us to do. So, how do I do what I do for Him? I ask Him for His help, and He does help me. I remember when I got out of Bible college, and I was going what they call full-time ministry. I wanted His help. I didn't think, I got a degree now. I've studied it. I've become this. Now I'm the answer to this ministry, or I'm the answer to this Sunday school class, or I'm the answer to this bus route, or I'm the answer. No. It was all about Him. So if we stay focused on Him, it'll be all about Him. So the Bible tells us that if we're focused on Him and we know these things and we keep it balanced, the Bible commands us to teach others also. That's who He wants teaching. If I'm all about myself and all focused on me, why would God want me to teach others also about that? Be me monsters. It's all about me's. No. If I'm focused on Him, I'll have that balance. Okay, it's all about Christ. It's all about Him leading us. And so now, that's what we have to realize. So when I'm focused on Him, it's all about Him. So you've heard these type of people. Christians, been Christians a long time, been in church a long time, been faithful to the Lord a long time. But just their conversation. The Lord is good. Praise the Lord. I want to do God's will. It's all everything that they talk about, if they're focused, it's going to be what they're talking about. And so if they're talking about Him all the time, it's because they're focused on Him. I've heard these type of people, the Christians. Well, this is what I've discovered. Well, this is what I've determined to do. This is how I built the Sunday school class. This is how I've, done this ministry. This is how, and it's all about them. So maybe their focus is right there. Focused on their degree. Focused on their learning. Focused on their ability. Focused on their talent. And so, again, that's what these influencers out there today, whether it be social media influencers or just face-to-face influencers, that's what they're doing. Well, this is what I've discovered. This is how I've determined. This is how I. They've lost their focus, so they're not going to be balanced. So what do we do? When it's all about me, it causes comparison. It causes competition. It causes criticism. So if I'm focused on me, I'm going to compare myself with everybody else. I'm doing better than them. I got more going on than they do. And I this and I this. It's all right here. We've lost focus. But when our focus is on Him, Jesus is great. Jesus is going to provide. Jesus has allowed me to serve Him. It's Jesus. So basically your focus or your communication is going to be about what you're focused on. So when it's all about me, it causes me to compare, compete, and criticize. But when I'm focused on God, it's all about Him. So three things here tonight. When we're focused on Christ, it'll help us battle Satan like He did. And we saw several people that battled Him and failed. Saw other people that battled Him and succeeded. It's all about, if I'm focused on Him, it'll help me make the right choices. We're going to have to make choices all day long. Good choices, some between bad and good, those ought to be easy ones. Sometimes two good choices. Cupcake and a marshmallow pop. I'll take them both. All right. So just make good choices. And then last thing, if we're focused on Him, it'll help us stay balanced and not lose our focus. Again, I don't like the spinny rides. I can do the loops and the twisties and the roller coasters and things like that, but I'm going to stay away from the spins. You know why? I don't want to lose my focus. I don't want to lose my lunch. And so I know that that's not for me anymore. So going through our Christian life, we're supposed to set our affections on things above. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's things that'll help us stay focused on Him. And we'll be able to be the right kind of example down here on earth and be balanced. Amen. So let's have a word of prayer. And we'll go eat some cake and some ice cream. After we have an invitation hymn, Brother Derek's coming, and let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have an invitation hymn. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And Lord, we thank You for the Word of God that teaches us where our focus should be. And Lord, I just ask You to help us, Lord, to always keep our focus on You. And obviously, the Bible gives us lots of examples of those that were focused, good things. Those that weren't focused, bad things. And so I just ask You to help us, Lord, to get to the point where we can stay focused on You. And then our communication will be pretty much all about You, not what we've got together or what we've got figured out. And I just ask You to help us, Lord, to continue to grow towards You and stay focused in Jesus' name. Let's all stand.